So welcome to All Things Apostolic. We're glad that you're with us today. Here we are, November the 3rd, 2025, the year of our Lord. And the year is almost over. And so what have I done for Christ? So we welcome you. We're glad that you're with us today. And we have good things to happen. Last week, we had a great week. We had four receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. We had one receive the Holy Ghost in one of the branch works. Another one received the Holy Ghost in another of the branch works. Let's see. And then four or five received the Holy Ghost last night. We're all happy about that because we believe that this is a fulfillment of Jesus saying you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And he said the Spirit is like the wind. No man knows whence it blows, where it goes, or where it comes from. But it comes to us. The Holy Ghost comes to people who obey the preaching of the Word of God. And so I think that whole dozen or 11 or whatever it was were all adults. So somebody said when you win a child, you get a whole person. When you win an adult, you get a half a person. So, but be that as it may, here we are, and we'll take anybody we can get. Somebody says, well, do you just take anybody? Of course, if they're a human being, because in God's eyes, human beings, and in the language of our American Bill of Rights and Constitution, that all men are created equal. So that doesn't mean they're all equal intellectually or they're all equal in how heavy they are or what color their eyes are or on and on, all of these peripheral issues. But it means they're all equal in terms of value in the sight of God. And so, and they therefore are to be treated with equal dignity to any other human being. And also they have an eternal soul, just like anybody else. So anyway, we're just happy today to be here with you and to have all these good things that are happening. Is there challenges? Yes. Is there things have to be dealt with? Of course. But in the middle of all of that, you always have to remember, as we've talked about, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so you say, well, I didn't do too good. I messed up over the... His mercies endureth forever. You come back to him, worshiping him, loving him, and he gives forgiveness to us with our repentance. So this is, what other kind of world is better than that? And he's given us the promise of eternal life, that we can't escape the fact that we are eternal creatures. So, but we were dead in trespasses and sins, dead to Christ, dead to salvation, dead to eternal life. You say, well, you mean they? You wouldn't, you just go away like an animal? No, when you're dead in trespasses and sins, death is equal to, theologically, to separation. So if you die a sinner, you're eternally separated from the good things of eternal life. You're separated from God and his mercies, and all goodness comes from God, and you're separate from all of that. So I don't even know how to articulate how final it is to be lost. The finality of it is so sobering that you can't quite wrap your mind around it. And forever to be separate from even the possibility of God. And so all of this ties into the joy that we have every day, that the grace of God has been extended to us, and through the Spirit we have received the grace of God. Amen. So anyway, we're just happy for what God's doing. How was your week? And how was your weekend? It's always a good assessment to say, yeah, good things are happening. Or to say, why aren't good things happening to me? And why isn't our church experiencing good things happening? And if you're a leader and a pastor, why? What is it that I don't have yet? Well, I want to tell you something. It's not a lack of talent. It's not a lack of intelligence. It's not a lack of ability. It's a lack of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And that's how a great house is built, the preacher told us in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. He told us that it's by those three things that a great house is built. It's by those things that it's filled with all precious things. And this is what we want. We want it to be like the Queen of Sheba when she came to see Solomon and his kingdom. And when she got through, the Bible says there was no breath left in her. She was so jaw-dropping, awestruck. And she said, happy are your servants. Everybody's happy around this place and efficient, and the setting of your tables and your ascent and to the throne, and everything was just beautiful. That's what we're working for. That's the goal, the perfect structure in which the glory of God, whether it's my personal body is a temple of God, or whether collectively it is the body of Christ in our local area and geographically. This should be one of the goals of every pastor, to have the highest level of excellence, an excellence that has an open portal for the streaming light of the glory of God to visit every service and every activity and everybody's career and everybody's job and everybody's workplace and everybody's family, and for it just to diffuse into where there are no dark spots in our lives. These are things that we're working for. And so the right kind of church has an enormous, by right kind, I mean a truly apostolic, anointed church of God, separate from the world. Separation from the world is not a negative thing. When you've got a church that's really rolling, people want the Holy Ghost. They don't want the world. So these are good things that we're talking about. I just want to mention next week on Thursday and Friday, November 6 and 7, is Momentum Youth Conference, Thursday night, Friday morning at 11 o'clock, Thursday night at 7:30, Friday morning at 11 o'clock, Friday night at 7:30 is Momentum. There's going to be some tremendous worship. The Holy Ghost is going to be there. The power of God's going to be there. The delivering power of God's going to be there. And there's preachers of the Word of God. Brother Wesley Jackson is going to be preaching. Brother Jesse Arthur is going to be preaching. Brother Douglas Walker is going to be preaching. These are tremendous preachers. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. I encourage you to come and be a part of it, and bring your young people and let them be a part of it. These are people who are going to bless all of us and bless your children also. Well, we were talking about in a recent podcast, I think the last one, we were talking about anti-Semitism and the rise in America and perhaps other places of anti-Semitism against the Jews. And in America, this has been represented in the past by groups like the Ku Klux Klan, who were anti-Jewish, and a few others. But beyond that, there wasn't much of that in America. So somebody says, well, thank God for Christianity because they won't be anti-Semitic. Well, beg your pardon. The history of mainline denominational Christianity. Mainline, old line denominational Christianity is embarrassingly strong anti-Semitic. It's embarrassing. And that includes Catholic Church, that includes the Lutheran Church, that includes the Anglican Church, that includes others. And somebody says, well, is all Christianity that way? No. Pentecostal churches are usually very much the opposite. Charismatic churches are usually very much the opposite. Most, I would say, Baptist churches and Methodist churches are mostly the opposite. But when you get into the older mainline denominational churches, anti-Semitism has been a constant in Christianity. It's just, it's embarrassing. If I were to give you and maybe we will sometime, but if I were to give you the history going down through each century of Christianity, of how institutional Christianity treated the Jews, it would be humiliating and embarrassing. And worse than that, it would be appalling. Well, how did Christians come to express such ugliness and such hate? Well, it starts theologically. Like so many things that are political, it starts theologically. And it starts with the conclusion that because the Jews rejected Christ and were there to see that he got crucified and were the agent of his crucifixion. The Romans, of course, crucified him, but it was the Jewish nation that set it up and saw it through and made sure that it took place. So early Christians accused the Jews of being Christ killers, and because they were Christ killers, the theological doctrine that came out of that is that Jesus, sitting on the side of a mountain, looked at Jerusalem one evening or morning or whenever it was, and he wept, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered like a hen gathers her chick, but ye would not." And then he pronounced doom coming upon Jerusalem, and he said, "Your desolation, your time of desolation is here." Then he taught also in Matthew chapter 24, when they said, "Is this temple beautiful in Jerusalem?" He said, "It's beautiful, but there is coming a time when not one stone will be left on another. It'll be torn down." And so he said these things, this is just an approximation, about 35 AD. In 70 AD, just like 35 years later, you know the history. Rome came, surrounded Jerusalem, and Titus was the general, and they took the city and destroyed it until there wasn't one stone left on another. They just absolutely decimated it and killed many, 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 many Jews, and it was a terrible time. So this is considered by the mainline groups, this was and still is in some cases, considered to be God's final casting away of the nation of Israel. They were God's people in the Old Testament, but these people teach they are no longer God's people. They are cast away forever. And really, it would be better if you look at some of the statements made through the centuries. They would say that it would be better if they were just disappeared, if they just were wiped off the face of the earth. It would be better. Well, you can see in some of the areas where this was preached the strongest was like, this isn't the only place, there's numbers of places, but like Germany and Martin Luther himself, who was on the other side of it. Martin Luther did many things that brought liberty not only to church people, but taught principles of liberty that were transforming and have a reverberating effect that still reverberates around the world, literally, globally. Martin Luther, powerful things. The just shall live by faith, and all that that implies. It's not just the phrase, but it's what all that implies. The theology behind all of that, and he gave that to us. By the same token, he was a vitriolic opponent of Jews and said terrible things about them. Isn't it amazing that years and years later, the man that created and commanded the Holocaust and saw to it that several millions of Jews were killed was the guy in Germany, was Hitler. So, and you can believe that Hitler got some of his inspiration from the teachings of the church there at that time. Now, I am sure that people today would say, yep, that was true in that time, but that's not true of us today. And thank God that they would be telling you the truth. There's people that that's not true about today, but there's a lot of people that that is true about. And there's others. Maybe we'll have time to go into them. Other ways that you find how Christian or people who claim to be Christian have got into this convoluted situation where they are opposing the Jewish nation. So you want to stay tuned.